Good evening. It surely is an honor and a pleasure to be here this evening, to be able to bring the Word of God to you tonight. I want to thank the eldership for considering me to come up here and talk to you tonight. For those of you who don't know me, I am Chad Brown. I'm already doing bad. I'm Chad Brown. I'm from Florida, and I'm an accounting major. So this isn't really my forte. I'm not used to getting up in front of people and public speaking. I'd rather hide behind a computer and do your taxes for you. But that being said, I think that this study that we're doing is absolutely fantastic. This look at one word at a time in the Bible and finding God in these words. I think that the speakers who have gone on before me have done such a fantastic job. Seth Turner, a few weeks back, gave us a lesson on grace, and it really put grace in a new perspective for me, and I'm so thankful for that. And then Blake last week did a wonderful job presenting mercy to us. So hopefully I can do the same for you, and as you can see, my topic is love. Love is a very difficult topic to talk about. When I first got this topic, I was pretty excited because, you know, I've heard 1,000 lessons on love. I know love pretty well. I show love in my everyday life, I feel like. But the more in-depth I got into it, the more I realized how complex love is. Everyone has their own idea of what love is, especially in today's society. I looked up how many songs have been written about love on Google. And Google is this place where you can go and find any bit of information in the whole world. I believe that, but this bit of information was not there. Google told me that there are too many songs to number that have been written about love. There's no way to fully count up the amount of songs that have been written about love. And so clearly this is a very prevalent topic in our society. And that can be seen through the literature that people write about love. And even our media has its own definition of what love is. So it can be so hard to really pinpoint the definition of love and to help us further understand what love is. One example of love happened yesterday. And love is shown on Valentine's Day through various different methods and means. This is the one day a year you have to love somebody. You can show love in so many different ways, but this one day throughout the year, you gotta love somebody. It's Valentine's Day. A lot of people have either heard about or read the book, The Five Love Languages. Well, some of those, I'm probably gonna forget some of them, but there's touch, quality time, gift giving. In my case, that's gift receiving. My love language is gift receiving. If you really want to make my day, it could be a Dr. Pepper from the vending machine. That's going to make my day, and I'm going to love you back, I promise you. There's also words of affirmation, and there's one that I told you I was going to forget. But on Valentine's Day, that's when these forms of love are so prevalently shown. That's when people buy gifts for their significant others, and they spend quality time together, and they get, you know, write cards with plenty of words of affirmation, and it's just, it's a loving day. I read somewhere that yesterday, close to $19 billion were going to be spent on Valentine's Day, and people buying gifts for their significant others. That number broken down was divided between what the guy spent and what the girl spent. And I thought that this number was pretty interesting. I'm not going to dwell on it for too long. I'm going to let you worry about it. But males generally spend $200 almost, just about $200 on their significant other, whereas females usually spend just about $100. So there's definitely a gap there. I wanted to address that. Maybe we can fix it next year. But let's move on. A few days ago, I put a post on Facebook about how I was going to be speaking tonight and how love was my topic and how I was so, I didn't really know which direction to go in. There's so much involving love, so much surrounding love that I really didn't know where to even start. And I asked people to stick with the theme of one word and pick one word that describes love to you. And the results were pretty cool. I had, close to 60-something people comment what they thought love was, or one-word definition of love. And it's really incredible how people I met in high school, people who don't know the church, don't know God, still had their definition and their word for love, because love is so ever-present in our society. And some of these words were action, selfless, sacrifice, unconditional. It's a gift. Sometimes it's painful, but it's a choice. And so, like I said, it can be with all of these things, it can be so difficult to try and really define what love is. So I went to the Bible and I wanted to know exactly what love is. I wanted to find love in its purest form. And I did that. If you turn with me to 1 John 4, we're going to look at verses 7 through 9. This, simply put, is the baseline definition of love. 1 John 4, 7 through 12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son to the world that we might live through him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and he is perfect. He is perfected in us. So here we see it plainly given to us in verse 8, that God is love. The true definition of love is God. Without God, there is no love. And we can't define love by ourselves without God. That can be a tricky thing to understand. God is love. What does that really entail? I wanted to break it down a little bit and talk to you about some of what God's love is for us. First off, God's love is everlasting, and it's immeasurable. Psalm 103:17 says, "But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to his children's children." You see, God's love has been there for us since before our lives began. It's been there for us since before the world began, since before time began. And God's love is going to exceed our lives and go on for infinity for the rest of eternity. And that's something that is so incredible to me, how God loved us before time even began. His love is from everlasting to everlasting, and it's steadfast. It's always going to be there for you to take whenever you need it, and it's always just going to be surrounding you. Another thing about God's love is his love is now. I know I just told you that God's love was all of time and for the rest of our lives and before we even knew him, but God loves us now. What I mean by that is God knows the things that we've done in the past, but he doesn't let that affect how he loves us now. God knows what we're going to do in the future, but he doesn't let that affect how he loves us now. You see, I could mess up tonight, and God's still going to love me right now for how I love him and how I am striving to be a better Christian. I could next week mess up, and God already knows about it. I could ruin my life. And God already knows that, but tonight he's going to love me for who I am now and for the Christian I'm trying to be. A biblical example of this can be found in Luke, chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered the village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And as they went there, when he saw them, He said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, were not 10 men cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return to give praise to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. You see, what's so incredible to me about this story is before Jesus ever encountered these 10 lepers, he knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew that he was going to heal all 10 of them, and that only one of them was going to even appreciate what he had done for him and the love that he had shown them. When I try to put myself in Jesus' shoes, it's impossible for me to think that I would have even healed 2 of those lepers. Me knowing what I know now, I would have only wanted to help the leper who needed me and who was going to be thankful for what I did for him. But that's not God's love. God's love is now, and he wants to love you and help you to the best of his ability at this instance. The next part of God's love that we need to understand is how we don't deserve it. Titus 3, verse 4 through 5 says, but when the goodness and loving kindness of our God and Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. You see, we didn't deserve the love that God shows us. We never deserve the love that God shows us. We're sinners, and Christ loves us even though we don't deserve it. And the best representation of that love was when Jesus took our sins to the cross. No one deserved Jesus to shed his blood on the cross for our sins. But he did it anyway because he loves you and me. So now I want to talk to you a little bit about our love. First off, our love is commanded. 1 John 4:8 says, this is the passage that we read a little bit ago. 1 John 4:8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. You see, if we don't love, we do not know God. And we have to know God in order to get to heaven. It's commanded of us. If you look down in verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You see, love is commanded of us. We need to be loving in order to be obeying the word of God if we want to see eternity in heaven with him. Our love also demands action. In John 3:16, even God's love has an action behind it. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. Do you see what's happening there? He's not just saying, I love the world. He's doing something about it. And he gives the ultimate sacrifice of his son for us because he loves us. God's love is filled with action. And so should ours be. Another verse to look at is John 21:17. For God so loved the world. Oh, I'm sorry. He said to them a third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So this is after Jesus has been raised from the dead. He's talking to Peter. And he's saying, Peter, do you love me? And it goes back and forth 3 times. And finally, you see here, Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. But God calls for the action of Peter's love. Feed my sheep. We have to be obedient, and we have to show action with our love. Our love has to be active. The last thing I want to look at with our love is that it's for everyone, even the undeserving. Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us, and that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. The first thing we need to do in order to show love to everyone is realize that we're all undeserving of God's love. I don't deserve God's love just as much as you don't deserve God's love. But guess what? God gave it to us anyways. And so we need to keep that in mind. Love is given without the expectation and appreciation of thanks. God's love is given without the expectation and the expectation of appreciation and thanks. He's going to love you now whether you say thank you or not. He hopes that you say thank you because he wants to see you in heaven. But that's God's love. As we close tonight, I know I probably haven't been speaking for very long. Like I said, I'm an accounting major. Hopefully something has stuck with you tonight. But I wanted to create an acronym so that we could kind of think about love more in our life, because it's so easy to overlook love. It's so prevalent in our lives and society. Sometimes we overlook it. But in order to love, we have to lose ourselves and value eternity. Losing ourselves is definitely the hardest part of loving. Last night, we were playing intramural basketball. And when I say we were playing intramural basketball, I'm on a team and I play on the bench. I just guard the bench so that nobody scores on me. And I will probably never get put in a game for more than 30 seconds throughout the whole season. But on that court, when something bad happens, my competition or my competitiveness gets in the way of my love, and I get mad. I get really upset. Last night, there were some calls made that I didn't agree with, and I was mad. I was on the sideline doing nothing, and I still got mad because of competition and competitiveness took over my heart instead of the love that God has. And it's so easy for that to happen in our lives. It happens all the time, whether we like to think of it or not, whether it's in our workplace, in our studies, in our day-to-day interactions with our friends, our family, whether it's any events that are happening on campus. It's so hard for us to lose ourselves so that we can start valuing eternity. Because when we value eternity, that shows that we're loving God, and then our love for God starts showing through us. Another reason you should love, as we close, is it's commanded of us, and it's the greatest command. As I was thinking about this lesson, I thought about this song immediately. It's one of my favorite songs to sing, but I never thought about the title of the song. You know, oh, let's sing Greatest Commands. It's a four-part, sounds pretty. But literally, you're singing the greatest command that God has given us, is to love one another. And I think that that is so profound. You can find that in John 13:34 and 1 Corinthians 13:13. And I just want you to understand the seriousness of love in our lives. Our life has to be love, and it has to be God's love. So before I close, I want to ask you, what is your heart look like? What does your love look like? Does it look like this? Is it unconditional? Is it sacrificial? Are you choosing to love others? It's going to hurt sometimes. But love can do so much for you. And we have to do it. If you're here tonight and you haven't felt the full love of God, or if you need to work on your love toward others, we ask that you come together at this time. Ask together, we stand and sing.